Hello everyone, and welcome back to The Board Gaming Doctor. My name is Phil, and I'll be your board game doctor today. In this episode, I go over my review of Lowlands. This is a 2018 game designed by Claudia and Rolf Partenheimer. Art by Andrea Bokoff. Published by Fürlein Spiel. This is a game for 2-4 players. It plays in 50 to 100 minutes. Its weight and complexity rating on BoardGameGeek is a 3.09 out of 5. Its overall ranking right now is 1003. Overall average rating 7.4 out of 10. As a game overview, in this game, you and your competitors are farmers in the lowlands tending to sheep. But in the stormy distance, the waters are rising and you must contribute to the dike to stop the storm surge from washing away your sheep. Over 4 rounds, you build fences and buildings, breed sheep, and collectively give resources to building up the dike, but who knows if it will hold or if it will ruin your farm at the end of the game. So some game highlights here. This is kind of a semi-cooperative game. The first feature of this game is the notion that all competitors need to contribute to the dike. Only one type of resource can be contributed at a time, and so hopefully when it comes to your turn, you're poised to contribute as much as you can via resource cards that you have in your hand. Advancing the dike track and earning bonuses along the way, as well as having some scoring opportunities the farther up you go. Now, the less that you contribute to the dike, the greater the risk of having sheep washed away at the end of the game, for if the dike is not built, the way that you score the end game is different, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But in addition to having an effect at the end of the game, there are intermittent phases during the game that if you are at the back or somewhere in the middle of the pack as well, in the dike track, you do get some penalties as well if the dike is not holding back the water at that time. And a little bit more on the dike. So as mentioned before, the endgame has two different endings. Either the dike holds or it breaches. If it holds and holds back enough water, nothing happens and everyone's happy. People score as far as they go on the dike track and they score their sheep. However, if it breaches, then you must lose sheep according to the number of breach tokens you have accumulated if you are near the end of the pack or somewhere in the middle during the game. Or worse, if you don't have any sheep, you lose money, which are worth a victory point each. And if you don't have money, you lose straight up victory points as well. Now, during these intermittent phases where you assess how far along you are on the dike track, you do get some bonuses if you are in the lead. Or if you're in the middle, you don't get as much of a benefit or hindrance as the opponents who are farther back. So it delivers a sweet tension of having to cooperate with your competitors while trying to maximize your own scoring opportunities on your turn. Now, speaking of your turn, each turn is taken via worker placement and tableau building. This game follows many rules from games like Agricola, not only in theme but in function, with building of pastures, buildings, and placing sheep on them, with opportunities to breed them during the game. Every building or feature tile is different, and there are storm surge buildings that offer endgame objectives to score victory points as well. Placement functions on an action point system, where the strength of the worker determines how many times you can take that particular action, or at what level of building you can construct. Finally, the last highlight that I want to talk about are the resource cards. The game hinges around 3 types of resources: wood, clay, and stone. And they come in the form of cards. You ebb and flow with lots of cards in your hand as you accumulate them to spend them on your actions, either taking an action to draw them to your hand or through income phases during the game. And you hope to collect as many of the same type of a resource at different times, one to contribute to the dike because it once again requires one resource at a time to build it up, or to use any of those resources to fence in your pastures to hold your sheep, or to spend them, obviously, for buildings. So they have, in a sense, a multi-use nature to them. So going into some game comparisons, the first and foremost game, obviously, is Agricola. I think the influence here is pretty straightforward as well, not only based off of how the game plays, but this is mentioned in the rulebook as well, that the gameplay is heavily styled off of Rosenberg's games. And so, from the theme, once again, to the resources that you use, including the resource cards that you use, as well as sheep, worker placement, individuality of building tiles, etc., tableau building, all of these are included in this game and feel very similar to Agricola in many ways. Another Rosenberg game that I want to compare it to is Glass Road. I compare it to this game mostly for playtime and the weight of the game. I feel like it mirrors Glass Road a little bit more than it does Agricola, which I think is longer and a little bit weightier. There are some major differences in mechanisms between Glass Road and Lowlands, but I feel like the overall approach to the game is similar, where you have some actions that are more of a building up type to have an opportunity to pull off something big later on, while keeping the gameplay short in time and tight as well with resources and with the actions that you are able to do. Another non-Rosenberg game that this reminds me of, a game that I've played, is Earth. The first thing that I thought of with Earth in comparison to Lowlands was the simultaneous play, or at least the notion that there is some sort of semi-cooperative experience going on here. In Lowlands, you are trying to beat out your opponents on the dike, but you must work together to build that dike for the best possible outcome. Not to say that you cannot win without playing the dike, but I think it's in everyone's best interest, strategically, to go for that. And in Earth, there are so many cards that offer positive player interaction, where if you take an action and activate a card, you get to activate an action that everyone gets to take as well, and they get to activate their own cascade of actions, and so on and so forth. And so when you are assessing both games, you are trying to be a little bit more aware of what everyone else is doing, how they're building their tableaus, and while thinking about what actions will benefit you the most, you do need to keep in mind what that action might do for someone else, like planting cards and advancing someone else closer to ending and triggering the end of the game. And the same applies to Lowlands. If you take certain actions, especially building up the dike, how will that affect the other players? Will they be able to contribute? Because I forgot to mention that you ask players to contribute to the dike whenever you build it yourself and take that action. And so you have the opportunity to communicate with your players, and I think there's some non-official negotiation going on there as well, which is very interesting. And that, in my experience, has happened with Earth over the table as well. Now, there are other games that are said to be more semi-cooperative in nature. I would say some games that are more, say, Hidden Movement or Social Deduction may have that aspect a little bit more forward than, say, Earth, but I have not played those games or I'm familiar enough to talk about those games, and so the first comparison that I make to Lowlands outside of Rosenberg games is Earth. So let's head into the peer review. So to go over some praise and concerns, compiling the comments that were made on BoardGameGeek by players like you on this game in the past. Starting with praise, this game boasts very tight gameplay that is reminiscent of Rosenberg games, and this is mentioned over and over again, but with the element of interactivity via contributing to the dike that feels unique among medium-weight Euro-style games. Each game feels different because of the different building tiles that come out, but also, as I mentioned before, the over-the-table element with who you play with, you know, depending on the players that you know and play with from game to game, the outcome and the journey may be different as you play and contribute to the dike or not. And so that element is very refreshing among Euro-style games, which have become more and more multiplayer solitaire. But the game does come with some concerns from the general players out there on the geek. The gameplay, to some, feels a little too straightforward, without the ability to pull off as huge of combos as you potentially would want on your turn, meaning that it's relatively easy to make decisions in this game, or at least to know what to do next with your worker placement. Despite the interesting semi-cooperation, the gameplay to some did not hold out as being repetitive or replayable. It became dull after a few times playing, understanding the overall goal of building the dike and gathering sheep as the main strategy to go to. It wasn't too hard to understand this and execute it as well, and especially if you play it with the same people over and over again, then there is little room to wiggle and evolve the meta around that. It seems like people were naturally heading in that direction to play in that certain way, and there is no other way to play the game, and so it feels kind of the same as you go through it. In addition to that, there is randomness involved in this game in the form of the resource cards. Depending on what resource cards you draw during the income phase, those are top decked, and you have a market of four cards that you can draw from as you take the draw cards action. That is random as well, and so you're kind of at the whim of what resources are available and what resources you have, especially when it comes to building the dike and contributing to it when it can only hold one resource at a time. So let's get into my thoughts and review on Lowlands after having played it a couple of times. Now, I played it a while ago and recently, and finally got it physically for Christmas, and so I've been waiting to test this out in person rather than over a virtual table. Returning to the game gave me the excitement of what kind of story the game would tell. Would we build up the dike or let our sheep wash away? You know, I wanted to see what would happen. In my latest play, I could easily tell you the narrative of what my game looked like. So at first, I let the other players contribute to the dike, working on my own farm and sheep, building up my tableau, while they focused on that. By the final couple of turns, I could see that they were in desperate need for dike building, and I was way behind on that track, and I realized if I didn't help out, I would lose out on a lot of points, because my sheep would be washed away if that dike did not hold. Because I was last, and I accumulated a lot more breach tokens than my opponents. I saw an opportunity to take one of the actions that was not taken very often, which is to sell or buy sheep at the market, and I could sell sheep to create space on my board and mitigate the losses that I would take, not having to worry too much about losing more sheep and then points on top of that. However, with our luck, we were able to collectively work together and work out what resources we would need to use in order to build the dike up and hold back the water, and we ended up doing so, and it felt really cool to kind of come at the last minute and hold that water tight and not have to worry about any of our sheep falling away, washing away in the tides, especially mine, and we were able to score the game as normal, and I ended up doing pretty well, and so that was a really cool experience that we could talk about afterwards. The twists and turns felt exhilarating in this game, not only at the end, but during the game as well, and it left me thinking a lot about it afterward. I would love to get it to the table again, but I do have some concerns that I think are being addressed by the designers based off of some posts that they've made recently on BoardGameGeek, and some of these concerns I do share with those mentioned by some of the other players in comments on BoardGameGeek. I hear that the designers that they have been working on an expansion for this game, but have not found a publisher, and they address a few concerns that other people have had with the randomness of the game and just expanding the game in general. I think what would elevate this game for me personally would be adding more variety to the game in the form of building tiles first and foremost. It's what I love about Agricola, it's what I love about Rosenberg games in general, is that there is a lot of variety in basically the base games for a lot of his big box games, on top of the expansions that are released as well, usually in the form of cards, but also in building tiles. And despite there being a good amount of individual buildings in Lowlands in a three-player game, we got through most of them, even though there, and I didn't mention this before, there is a limit to how many buildings you can build. But despite that limit, I think you're working with like 12 to 15 of each type of building or so. And so the sense of exploration as you play game to game is limited because you have seen pretty much all of these buildings before. And in our three-player game, for example, I think we might have been maybe one or two buildings off of drawing, you know, through the pile and revealing them. And so you basically get a sense of what is coming every game, especially at a higher player count. And I, you know, would love to see that stack still be very high at the end of the game, making me feel like, oh, I wish I would have seen that building, or, man, I've never seen this combination of buildings before. I love that feeling in the game, and it makes me look forward to the next game to see what kinds of combinations and efficiencies I can pull off in the next one when you start to pair building tiles or cards together. I like the feeling and the notion of contributing semi-cooperatively to the dike. And I don't know if I agree or disagree yet with how samey that would feel in the future with future gameplay. It seems like contributing to the dike is crucial and probably the better option to go through if everyone wants to do as well as they can. But I would love to explore the other options in the future, especially if we decide not to contribute, or if someone decides to stab someone in the back and not contribute to it last minute, and to see what would happen and score the game that way. Finally, the worker placement action point system is nice. I like the flexibility that you get with how much you can take a single action in the turn, how powerful you want to make it. But it didn't feel as bombastic as other worker placement games go, as it didn't live up to the expectations that I was going for, I think. And I did feel strategically it was pretty easy in the downtime between turns to know what I needed to do next, and there wasn't a lot of opportunity for someone to swipe the rug, you know, from under my feet and having to reevaluate. In Rosenberg games, oftentimes someone will block you from a worker placement spot, or they would take a building that you're planning to build, and you have to reevaluate not only if you are being blocked from a certain action, but in a lot of his games, I think of Newsford, for example, where intermittently during the phases of the game, the rounds of the game, you get you flip over new building tiles from the C deck to offer up some new strategies. Now, it is randomly done and assigned to every player, but ultimately they do come out into a shared market that everyone can do, and there are some issues out there with it coming later than sooner. But that sense of having something pop up that is unexpected and being tantalizing to you, saying, hey, what if you went down this route? Would that be more efficient and give you more points? Or do you stick with your original strategy based off of what you have determined to be the best strategy from the beginning and early game? This also happens in Agricola when people don't take some spots and resources accumulate on certain worker placement spots. And so there's always a re-evaluation of your own strategy and recalibrating what you want to accomplish with the new information that is offered to you. And so that is really fun and brain-burning, in my opinion. And I felt that was a little bit lacking in Lowlands. I felt like, despite the variation in action point systems, the opportunity to be flexible or to have to reevaluate at every single turn didn't feel as expansive as I was hoping it would be. It was pretty easy and straightforward. Maybe that's just the way that the game played out. But it felt like it was pretty easy to know what to do on my whole entire turn with my three workers, and there was very little that my opponents can do to alter that. Maybe it was how they contribute to the dike, or, you know, what they did with their resources with the dike. But anyway, that's what I kind of came across and came out with when it came from the turn-to-turn feelings of this game. And despite that, I really enjoyed, though, the mechanisms as a whole with the semi-cooperation worker placement. Those are great mechanisms that I enjoy. But as a whole, the story that this game told through its theme and mechanisms was really enjoyable, and I think that is where it shines. And I think I need to play it more to really explore the gameplay and find what it's what may be hiding underneath the surface of what strategically is possible. There are so many games out there that really start to unfold after a handful of plays, and after everyone understands the rules and starts to bend things here and there, starts to alter the meta of how everyone approaches the game. And I think that is possible here, and I'm definitely intrigued to go through it and explore that. But I don't know if there will be much that it may offer that is different from game to game to me. And so, even though I really enjoyed the story told by this game and the mechanisms of it, to me, it right now is a game that I feel like is perfect to pull out every once in a while to refresh yourself on the mechanisms and the story of the game, the arc that it tells throughout the game, and to have, you know, a laugh about how everyone contributed to the dike or not, and to go on from there. It didn't seem like it had enough to offer it to be like a competitive game where you really try to understand what other players are doing. And this is how I envision Glass Road being. As you play it more, you start to understand what other people are trying to do as well, and you can get into some real good mind games there. But in Lowlands, I think there is an opportunity for that, but it's not as apparent. And I think that an expansion for this game would really flesh out that opportunity. And so here's to hoping that this really good game, that I think has a lot of potential, finds that potential realized through a published expansion in the future. So those are my thoughts on Lowlands. Thank you for consulting with me today. Hope that you schedule an appointment with me real soon. Take care.